Welcome back to Here's the Thing podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And we are here just to chop it up with y'all for a little bit. So, what is on your mind today?
One thing that has been on my mind is just the different seasons that we go through.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that a lot of times we shift seasons due to the different disappointments that we face.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like disappointment is just a part of life, I feel like. At some point, everybody
you're going to experience it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you say disappointment, are you talking about, like, disappointment with God? Disappointment with the situation? Like,
it could be all of that. All of the above. You could have disappointment from your friends or coworkers. It could be disappointment that you didn't get the job. Life is going to hand you disappointments.
Well, I mean, we know that God is in control of everything. He knows the number of the hairs on our head. He knows our days. He knows when we'll take our last breath. So I feel like a lot of times when we are dealing with disappointment, the root of it is we didn't get what we wanted and God didn't allow it. So I think that ultimately disappointment can simply just be like, no, I'm just disappointed in God. Like, have you ever been like disappointed in God? Like,
for sure.
So how do you handle disappointment in somebody that literally can do no wrong?
Me personally, I've kind of I'm always gonna express how I feel.
For sure.
You know, he's gonna know exactly what's on my heart when I am disappointed, why I'm disappointed. At the end of the day, I trust him to work all things out.
Right.
For my good.
Yeah.
As churchy as that sounds. But it doesn't, like, stop what you're feeling in the moment.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know? I've had moments. Well, I actually had got furloughed in 2020.
Okay.
And it seemed like, I don't know, like within the last, like the 2 years after me getting furloughed, I would get these prophetic words where it was just like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. You're going to, just all these things that was a part of God's plan for my life. But it got to the point where I remember saying, like, Lord, I don't want to hear no more prophetic words. I don't need no more. Just like, whatever you're going to do, do it. Because right now,
right,
doesn't look like what you're telling me is on the way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right now is real. Right now is what I can feel. So I remember I was just like, I don't care.
Don't say nothing else to me.
Don't say nothing else spirit. To me. just let me be, because right, this.
Has disappointment ever caused you to, like, walk away from the faith? Like, God didn't meet my expectations, so therefore I'm no longer worshiping you. Like, or how do you even handle worshiping God while being disappointed?
Let me tell you, for sure have been disappointed with God. And one thing in particular, like, when I say this is gonna sound crazy because it's really my fault.
Okay.
But I'll never forget it. I was wine tasting in Napa with my mother.
Okay.
And I made the stupid decision to drive.
How many
we had hit up 3 wineries at this point.
3 wineries?
Yeah, we was hopping around. and I just remember, like, I wasn't driving for long before I was like, I need to pull over and just chill out. But as I was, like, switching lanes to get over to do so, lights went on. I get arrested in front of my mom.
Oh, you was swerving.
I was swerving over to park because I was like,
nah,
I'm not good to
you
drive.
Wasn't switching lanes to park, and then they just pulled you over.
I'm telling you what happened.
You've been swerving for a little minute. That cop was probably following you.
Well, I wasn't aware anyways.
Because you were drunk. you were gone.
So anyways, I remember feeling like it was like it could have been prevented.
Yeah.
like God, you could have, like, cloaked me, had them not see me, because again, I was about to pull over, you know, like, you could have just held out. I was gonna be, you know,
could have put me in the invisible boat mobile.
Yes. Cloaked me or something to keep this from happening. And part of it was a sense of entitlement, because I felt like I was serving in a certain way. I was praying, I was fasting, I'm teaching Bible studies, like, I'm doing all this, so I should be favored in all these situations, and you should keep me out of certain situations.
And it was just one day.
He should have kept me out of jail.
One day, bad decision.
Yeah.
In the midst of all the good you were doing.
Yeah. But it was like, it really impacted me, like, to get arrested in front of your mama.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. How was your mugshot?
And she felt a health.
Did you?
Anyways. After that, it was for months, it was really, really hard for me to worship, because songs would come on about him being an awesome God, a mighty God, you know, all these things. And it was hard for me to even feel like I was saying those words and meaning it. Because I felt like if he really could do anything,
he would have
kept me from that, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And I felt like he should have. So super disappointed with him.
Now, in that disappointment, though, hindsight being 2020, right? Did you learn something from it? Was it something that you gained from it? Was it something that you feel like benefited you in the long run, that it happened the way it happened?
Besides, don't drink and drive?
Yes.
One thing that it did kind of break off of me eventually, and I do mean eventually, like maybe even a year later, was that I was acting in a place of self-righteousness. Feeling like I had earned a certain response from God, a certain amount of protection from certain things with him. And so when he didn't come through, it was almost like I saw it as him not holding up his part.
Wow.
Of this unspoken expectation, which a lot of times, even what we do with people, right? We Absolutely. Have these unspoken expectations, and when they don't meet them, we're disappointed. But yeah, that kind of really took some time to break off of me and really start seeing him for who he is, outside of me seeing the part that I obviously played.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
So God used disappointment to break your arrogance.
Yeah, I guess he did. And self-righteousness.
Yeah. I mean that's arrogance. How about I said,
just like things.
You thinking that you deserve because of what you do, and God said, "Yeah, let's get rid of that by me not showing up for you in a moment."
Yeah,
and
there was a lot of lessons that came out of that way.
I'm sure.
I really was able to see him as like Father God. You know, it's like everything. He protects us, but a lot of time it's through his word.
Yeah.
So like the Bible tells you, don't get drunk, right?
Right.
So when we do stuff outside of what he did tell us, because he was trying to protect us from certain things, and we do it anyways, we turn around and get mad at him like,
"You couldn't have
shown
me some grace?" Like,
right, as if the grace wasn't just his word in general. So
right.
There was a lot of different.
And what it reminds me of, and it reminds me of Samson, where it's like, hey, like, I'm going to let you be disappointed that I didn't rescue you in this moment from the Philistines. I'm going to let your eyes get gouged out. I'm going to let them take you captive. Like, you know, like, because he was arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this way about him where he thought that, like, he was untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, he was humble enough to say, "God, if you give me one more chance."
Yes.
Like, you know, like now, and that's sometimes, like, you know, what God is trying to, he's trying to break us down with, like, hey, like, humble yourself. Like, imagine going to God with all the strength that you used to have and saying, "God, I'm nothing without you."
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, all the self-righteousness that you had, like, "God, I'm nothing without you."
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I repent for doing my part. God, give me one more chance so I can make it right.
I think that what we are often taught in church kind of can skew our perspective on God as well, and what he is required to do, what we expect him to do, how we expect him to come through for us. I think, and it's happened to me, where it's just like, are my prayers being heard?
Yeah.
Am I just praying to walls?
Yeah.
Like, do I really look foolish?
That's fair.
You know, because this isn't working out, or he didn't come through how I thought he would. And so, you know, that always leads to disappointment. And the scary part is sometimes it leads to unbelief.
Yeah, because you said something that's really pivotal. You said that, like, you know, like, sometimes what we think God is required to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I pay my tithes, so
you're supposed to, like, you know, take care of me.
Give me this new house that I've been praying for.
Because it's the prosperity gospel, and thinking that we can earn things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he said he saved us not for the righteous things that we have done, but because of his grace and his mercy. There's literally nothing you can do.
Yeah.
To get from God. Like, you know, like God gives freely. And before you could give anything to him, he was already given to you. So you come into the world in debt. For God so loved the world, I gave my son.
Because a lot of times we treat him like we do people, as if he is as a mere man like we are.
Yeah.
You know, like we, a guy can take a girl out on a date and spend so much money on her and expect something, even if it's just a phone call the next day. You know, and then disappointment comes if that doesn't happen or if she decides that she doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah, we treat God just like that.
You know,
that's a fact. Because if I spend some money on you now.
And it, for God, it could be if I spend this amount of time in prayer. I expect a certain result.
If I fast for 3 days, I expect now. And to kind of like, you know, like break this thing down, there is a lot of like, you know, teachings that go forth of like, you can expect God to do this, you can expect God to do that.
Yes.
Do you feel like those teachings are misplaced or just not taught in the right context? Like, who are we to ever think that we can expect God to do something because we did this, that, and the third? Like, are we entitled, like, to your point, like, yeah, are we entitled to the blessings and the riches of God because we do this, that, and the third?
Well, the Bible does say that we're heirs. So absolutely, in a certain amount of way, I think we are entitled to certain things. But when it comes to how it's taught a lot of ways, I think that that is setting yourself up to be disappointed by God. To say, I expect you to do this, you know, because I've done this. And I feel like the proper posture should be, this is what I'm petitioning to you.
Okay.
This is what I'm laying at your feet, Lord. Yeah. I know what you're capable of doing, but I know that at the end of the day, you know what's best for me. Your ways are higher than mine. I can't even fathom, you know, what you really have planned for my life. So I think to put a certain expectation on God is a lot of times even thinking way too small.
That's, you know, fair.
So that's fair. I think that when you try to brace for what you think he should do or what you think he's going to do and he doesn't, I think that that's an unfair expectation and honestly kind of foolish.
You know, my parents used to say this thing to me all the time. They're like, your job is to go to school and get good grades.
Yeah.
So when I would come home with, like, you know, A's and B's, hoping, expecting to get a reward, my parents are like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're not getting no prize for that. Like, you know, that's your job. Just like, I'm supposed to go and provide food and shelter. Like, you know, I don't get no extra gifting from you because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, when we say that, oh, I obeyed you, God, I prayed, I fasted, God is looking at us like, that's what you're supposed to do. Right. Like, I you're supposed to live a lifestyle of praying and fasting. Yeah. Like, you know, you're supposed to be obedient if you love me. You're supposed to believe in me and trust me and do what I tell you to do and follow my commandments. These are things that you're supposed to do. Where do we get off thinking that, like, you know, doing the things that we are supposed to do is going to earn us any type of exploit from God? So if God, and we say it all the time, if we had 1,000 times, we couldn't say thank you enough. If you don't do anything else for us, Lord, you've already done enough. Do we really believe that?
No. No.
That is not what you believe.
What really, like, I know I talked about, like, I was getting prophetic words of this, that's going to happen. I remember thinking, like, Lord, I would be, I know it's going to sound crazy, but I would be more content with where I'm at, even though I'm uncomfortable, even though this really sucks, if you didn't tell me that there was more.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Because now I am in expectation.
That's fair.
Of certain things. And the thing is, he doesn't give you all the details. And he oftentimes doesn't give you a date.
Yeah.
So that liminal space, that in between space where you're just like, I'm here, but Lord, you've actually said that there is more. Well, now I am in expectation.
But I think the posture that we should take on is, but even if he doesn't.
Yeah.
Like Hebrew boys. Hey, like, you know, rescue us from this fire. We believe that he's going to rescue us from this fire. Like, we are in expectation of him delivering us from this fire. Mm-hmm. But even if he doesn't, I feel like that's what's missing in the faith. is that we go to God with this arrogance and this pompous attitude of like, we are expecting you to do, and we treat him like a genie and say, hey, I did my part. Now do yours.
Yes.
As if we are in any position to command God to do anything.
Yeah.
And we talk like that in church, like, you know, like, oh, demand God to do, like, you know, demand from heaven. And that's like, y'all use some crazy choice words, like, you know, to think that you can command God and, like, you know, like, command the angel, that, like, command. So with that being the case, about said, like, you know, we have to begin to take on a posture of, but God, even if you don't do this, that, and the third,
yeah,
I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to trust you. I'm still not going to be disappointed in the fact that this didn't happen, because you didn't have to.
Yeah.
You could have chose to, but you didn't have to.
And it does definitely keep you in a posture of gratefulness for the things that he does do.
Humility, absolutely.
When he does decide to come through, I think I can just relate all too well with the Israelites. I was just like reading recently in Exodus where God tells Moses, tell the people, I'm going to get them out of slavery. I'm going to give them the land that I promised. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they literally were like, we don't want to hear it.
Mm.
Like, they're so discouraged by their current situation, how long they've been in that situation, where it's just like, I don't even want to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
Because if he was this and that, he could have been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that is a tough place to be in, where it's just like, okay, God, I do believe in you. I know that you are all powerful, but you've allowed me to be in this place for a really long time.
Yeah.
And I think that is a dangerous part, where it's almost like a hopelessness paired with, I'm going to try to be content.
That's,
you know,
fair.
What I mean?
Yeah.
To where you even stop expecting him so that you're not disappointed. Because I used to use that language. I don't want to be disappointed by God. So I'm just, I'm just going to, you know,
not expect anything. Yeah.
That way my hopes don't get up. I can still see him as this loving father, this loving God, and we can move on.
And that's not even how you're supposed to live.
I know.
I'm about to say, like, you know, you're supposed to have faith. I'm about to say, and that faith is expecting something.
On that note, I know I've shared a little bit of my story. Like, can you think of something, or even if you just want to just get some off your chest or whatever, about a time where you experienced disappointment?
Well, I've been disappointed in God many times because I was under the impression that, just like you, like, doing good things meant good things would come to me.
Yes.
And this is what we teach people in church. Like, you know, we don't teach the holistic viewpoint of how God moves with people. So oftentimes we feel as if you're tithing, if you're praying for your enemies, if you're doing this, if you're doing that, then you can expect good things to come.
Yes, right.
But the reality is that may not always happen. And I look at somebody like Paul, and Paul is somebody who was doing good things and got stoned nearly to death for doing the right thing.
Right.
And what that humbles me to say is that, like, you know, even when I'm doing something right, it doesn't mean that good things are going to come as a byproduct of that. But when I was young, I didn't know, like, you know, so it really messed with me, and it really messed with my theology, because I was only getting a half gospel of, hey, when you do these things, goodness and mercy will follow you, and all mm-hmm. these, like, we made scripture so much about us that we miss the Christ aspect of Christianity. And God is like, hey, I'm Jesus, and I died. Yeah, like, you know, it was disappointing. Like, he was in the garden, sweating blood, and saying, hey, like, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. So I'm sure that there was even some disappointment in that, to say, like, hey, there's no other way. I don't think that Jesus was asking from the standpoint of, I know the answer is going to be no. I think he was asking, really looking for a way out. And then the disappointment really began to settle in of, like, there is no other way. I have to go through this.
Yeah.
So now it's a thing where I have learned in just time to muscle through my disappointment with a joyful heart.
Count it all joy.
Right. I about to say, like, you know, the Bible says in Acts 5, it says they were out there preaching, teaching the gospel, and then there was this crippled beggar that got healed, And Peter and John went before the council and they told them, like, hey, don't speak of Jesus no more. We don't want to hear that crap no more. Like, you starting riots, you starting, like, you know, all types of, like, you know, chaos. Don't do it no more. And they kept doing it. And then the Bible says, like, hey, let's kill them. And then they're like, well, if we kill them, then their followers are going to pull up and we're going to find out that Jesus really is, like, you know, who he says he is. So they say, hey, let's just beat them. And then they beat them. And then Peter and John, or, like, you know, Peter and them, they say, hey, we find it a joy to have suffered for Christ's name's sake. Let's do it again. I find myself the most disappointed when I don't realize that I'm suffering for Christ.
That makes sense.
Like, when I'm really going through something for God, like even when I do good, sometimes me being on, like, you know, on that, like, you know, me being on display to be, like, you know, crucified, or me being on display to be, like, you know, chastised, it's like, this is the way that God gets the glory. But I find that disappointment that God, you didn't prevent that from happening.
Yes.
Like, I saw you prevent the fire for the Hebrew boys. I saw you prevent the lions from eating Daniel.
Everybody else.
Right. So why couldn't you have stopped this for me? And right. I had to realize that God is like, hey, some things are just for my glory.
Yeah.
And once I recognized that, it was easier to digest disappointment. But have I been disappointed with God? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I disappointed with God the other day. Like, you know, like, and I think the reality is that we get disappointed because we don't get our way.
Yeah.
And that's really all it is. When we really pray about it and really sit with the details and the facts of the matter, it's really like, you know what? I understand. Hindsight is always 20/20. You know, I understand why that didn't work out now. I understand why I didn't get that job. This door wasn't open. But in the moment, yeah, like, you know, being disappointed is a real thing. And it's okay to feel frustration. Like, I think oftentimes, like, you know, people try to make you feel bad for feeling disappointed.
Yeah, no, that's just a natural human reaction.
Right.
To your point, like, when we don't get your way. But even in that, like, that all makes sense, like, when it comes to being disappointed by God, you know,
and sure.
Stuff that we low-key feel like is out of our control, but it's like, but you can control the God, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, I got you.
But have you ever been, like, disappointed with yourself? Because that's a different type of accountability, because now you can't put that off on somebody else. You know what I mean?
That's good. Yeah, you're right. And absolutely I have, because I make a lot of stupid decisions. And not only do I make a lot of stupid decisions.
Well, you're frustrated with yourself, right?
Right. And I think it's easy to get frustrated with yourself when you know better. Like, you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
But then even on top of that, I think it's a thing where sometimes we think as if we know what's best. So I think it's more so just the disappointment that my wisdom didn't pan out the way I thought it was going to.
Let me tell you something. I've been disappointed with myself.
Okay.
And this is just me putting myself out here.
Go for it.
When it comes to sexual immorality.
Okay.
Like, I could be like, you know, Lord, I'm not going to do it no more. Like, I know what your word says. I want to save myself till marriage. I want to be abstinent and all the things, but I fall into it again. Like, that's a different type of disappointed, because, like, nobody had a gun to your head. You know, nobody made you do this. And a lot of times,
I put myself in that situation.
It was premeditated, you know? And now the act is over and you're done with it and you're sitting with it. And it's just like, why did I do that? You know,
there's nothing worse than post nut clarity, where you just sit back and you're just like, I shouldn't have did that.
Yeah, you get real sober minded real quick.
Real quick. Like, as soon as that high is over, just like, God dog it.
Yeah.
Again. And then, like you said, when you play back all the details of the situation, like, I really knew this was going to happen.
And in those moments, like, the enemy is going to try to condemn you. Like, you know what I mean? Condemnation is, like, always sure to follow, where it's just like, you know, you're never going to be anything better than this. You really thought that, you know, you wasn't going to be able to do this again. You keep falling. You know, you're not getting any better. You're not getting any wiser. You're not making any progress.
You might as well keep doing it.
You know, all the things. And right. So I think when you're disappointed with yourself, that, like, turns into a whole different game than just being disappointed with God.
Right. And I think that the issue becomes when you don't learn from those mistakes, because this is what I love, and here's the grace of the matter, right? You're human, so you have a lot of carnal aspects to yourself that you're going to fall victim to because it's your flesh. Your flesh did not get saved. You've heard that a million times. I say your flesh is literally combating your spirit man, according to Galatians 5. And what Jesus tells Peter is that, hey, you're going to fall victim to the same thing more than once.
Yeah,
he literally says, hey, you're going to deny me three times. And you're going to deny me three times in a row. Like, it ain't going to be like, you know, like, oh, I'm denying you three times, like, you know, like over a period of 10 years. It's like, no, like, you're going to deny me three times back to back to back. And what I love about that is that Jesus doesn't say, like, you know, you're no longer my disciple because I know for a fact you're going to deny me. He says, hey, I'm telling you this not to condemn you, not to make you feel bad, but to prepare you for how to bounce back from this thing. Mm-hmm. Like imagine God telling you, and a lot of us can't handle it, but imagine God telling you, like, hey, you're going to fall victim to sexual immorality X amount of times. Like, you know, like, we would probably be like, oh, no, man, not me. Just like how Peter was. Like, yeah. You know, like, I love you, God, too much. But I think that's the arrogance that we have in our human nature to think that we are above falling victim to temptation.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of times where the disappointment comes in, is when we feel like, I shouldn't have fell for this. I shouldn't have, like, you know, and granted, like, you know, we have the power to overcome sin. Like, you know, sin has no power over us. According to Romans, like, you know, the power of sin is dead. About to say, so we don't have to fall victim to it. But I think that is often, we often get disappointed because, like, you know,
is it a little bit of pride in there, if that's the case?
Absolutely.
And entitlement, even?
You would have to explain entitlement, but pride for sure. I think pride is saying, like, I'm better than this. I don't need, it's almost like you're saying that you don't need anything to defeat sexual immorality. I can do it on my own. I can not go here. I cannot. There are some times where I promise you, babe, there are some times where I literally, like, have not even tried, like, sex wasn't even on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I still fell victim to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God, dog, like, you know, this wasn't even premeditated.
Yeah.
I was just chilling. And the next thing you know, 1 + 1 was equaling 2. So it's like, there are times where, like, you really feel like you can do this thing on your own.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we become the most disappointed, when we feel like, I could have prevented this and I still fell victim.
Yeah. Definitely some pride in there. And now that I think about it, I think that's exactly what happens half the time.
Yeah.
I think when I was thinking of entitlement, it was more so of what happens when you're disappointed with people. Because okay. I think there's different, like, you can be disappointed with God, and you can be disappointed with yourself, but being disappointed with somebody else or a different situation, you know, maybe it's like you didn't get the job that you were that you wanted to. Maybe you felt like it was yours and it was snatched away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you felt that since I treated this person this way, I'm entitled to a certain, you know, reciprocation when it comes to how they treat me. And when they don't meet that,
yeah,
you become disappointed. I think that's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you find it hard to forgive those people that you are disappointed in? Like, when somebody lets you down, like, genuinely, like, you know, like, falls short, do you have a hard time, like, you know, forgiving them and then being able to treat them as if they never disappointed you in the first place?
I think, like we kind of mentioned before, I think you're always going to feel things in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you have to go through those feelings but not hold on to them, right? You don't want disappointment to make your heart hardened. So in those moments, I'm always praying, like, Lord, guard my heart and mind. Mm. You know, I don't want any seeds of bitterness to take root from this. And, you know, sometimes it's just having that conversation.
Sure.
With whoever was, to gain some understanding, to let them know how you were feeling. But yeah, it's being disappointed by somebody else just hits different.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you're better than me, because I'm holding that grudge for a moment. I'm going to sit in my humanness for a moment in time to say, yo, I'm disappointed and it's beef for at least the next 30 minutes. Like, you know, like, give me some time to process the beef. And it may even be longer. Like, you know, like, it just depends on, like, you know, like, just what the situation is. But I definitely And again, no judgment here. And if you do judge me, then judge your mama. About to say, but at the end of the day, like, you know, I often, like, you know, hold grudges. Like, I am not always quick to forgive people.
Yeah.
So when I'm disappointed in somebody, I do hold that against you. And you may not hear from me for a couple of months. Like, you know, and that's just the reality of my situation. And sometimes I need that time for God to work on me. And perfect scripture that I have, and y'all can say what y'all want about Esau and how God felt about him according to scripture, but let me show y'all just how human nature works. The last time that Esau saw Jacob, he wanted to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He steals the birthright. After he steals the birthright, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, Esau gets upset. Like, Dad, do you have anything for me? Isaac's like, nah, like, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, you work for your brother. Like, you know, and when you decide to shake the yoke from your neck, you'll be free. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says that Esau is literally like chasing Jacob. Rebecca's like, yo, get out of here. Go find somewhere to be, like, you know, to save yourself.
Yeah.
So now that Esau is, like, you know, chasing him, they eventually, like, you know, grow apart. So the last time that we hear from Esau, he was trying to kill Jacob. The next time we hear about Esau, he's about to approach Jacob, and Jacob is, like, you know, he's changed now to Israel. He's trying to send a bunch of possessions ahead of him, almost trying to soften the blow, mm-hmm. because he's thinking, like, yo, when Esau sees me, he's going to still have that same, like, you know, beef that he had 14 plus years ago. And then the Bible says that when Esau sees Jacob, he embraces him. Sometimes you need that time of being disappointed from a situation. Esau was disappointed in Jacob, and sometimes you need that time. I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do, but sometimes you need that time to heal, to get it together, to really bounce back from what you were feeling. And then the next time he sees Jacob, he embraces him. That disappointment, and sometimes I think what people try to do is they try to make you deny how you feel from a human standpoint, because they want you to be Christ-like and Christ-centered. And they think that whenever you give into your human feelings, all of a sudden you're not of the Lord. You're not doing this the right way. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Yeah. No, I'm all those things, but I'm human.
Yeah.
And you have to give me time to process my feelings. And I think that when you deny yourself of feelings, what you're really doing is you're denying yourself the way that God created you. He created you with emotions.
Yeah.
He created you with feelings. He created you with this gauge in your mind to be disappointed in a situation or to be approved of a situation. Like, he gave you that. So there's no sin in feeling it.
Yeah.
So I just think that, like, you know, we have to begin to regulate better how we handle disappointment in people, yeah. especially.
Yeah. I think a lot of times disappointment can also, I don't want to say be tied to, but it usually is maybe even followed by a feeling of rejection.
Okay.
Like, if you wanted a certain relationship to work out and it didn't, and you know what I mean? They end up choosing somebody else. You're disappointed, but now you're also kind of like, why wasn't I good enough?
Yeah.
If you didn't get the job that you really wanted, you're disappointed, but in the back of that, it's like, why wasn't I good enough? It's still like a little bit of rejection in there. So now you're having to kind of maneuver through a lot of different feelings.
Yeah. And to speak to that, why was I not good enough? And I hope that this frees somebody. It wasn't that you wasn't good enough. It's more so that maybe God was protecting you from the thing that you thought was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't good. Because God lives outside of time, God knows, hey, this may feel good, seem good, even be the right thing in the moment. You may have done everything right, but I see what it was going to be down the road.
Right.
So when I decide to intervene and prevent something from happening to you that would have been detrimental to your spirit, we get disappointed in thinking like, man, like, and that's where the pride comes in. Mm-hmm. I knew this was going to work out. I did everything right. I prayed, I fasted. I did.
Or you feel entitled. I did this, and that, and so this should have worked out in my favor.
Right. And we don't ever take the time to consider that God is saying, like, hey, I didn't want this to work. And I know I give a lot of scriptures, about to say, but, like, you know, the Bible is such a beautiful coloring book when you look at it. It makes everything come to life. Mm-hmm. The Bible says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when Peter's walking on water, we know this story very well. But there's a part of the story, I want to say it's in Mark or it's in Luke. I don't know for sure, so Bible scholars, please don't get on my back. But the Bible says that when Peter starts walking on water, the Lord had intended to walk past Peter and the disciples. He didn't even intend to stop. So then Peter says, hey, man, it's you, guy. You look like a ghost, but I recognize that you. If it's you, let me come walk on the water. He says, all right, cool. Come on out here. Then Peter begins to sink. I'm sure that somewhere in the back of Peter's mind, he was probably disappointed in Jesus. Like, why didn't you allow me to keep walking on this water? Mm-hmm. Because I know for a fact you had the power, the capabilities to allow me to keep doing it because you allowed me to start. Yeah. And what if God is saying, I didn't even want you to do that? I intended to walk past you, which to me translates to, I intended for y'all to speak to the storm and not need me for the storm. I spoke to the storm last time to show you guys just how to handle storms. So you walking on the water is cool, but I really intended for you to speak to it. And because you began to fall, now all of a sudden you get disappointed in God because God didn't allow something to work out that he never intended to work out in the first place.
And sometimes it's... we're disappointed when a season ends.
Oh, absolutely.
You may have not been ready to let go of whatever it is.
Agreed.
You know, you may have not been ready for the relationship to end. You may have not been ready for your employment to end at a certain place, but that was out of your control. So
right.
I think that that's always something that comes up as well.
Yeah. And that is more so, and I don't want to say greed, yeah, about saying, because it does just catch you off guard.
Yes.
But what if you really just consult God and God is like, hey, like, I have something better for you.
Right.
Like, we've all lost jobs. At mm-hmm. one point in time, I would say, like, you know, and if you haven't, then congratulations. Like, you know, keep doing whatever you're doing. I'm about to say, but like, you know, like, if you've ever lost a job, like, you know, that feeling of, dag, this is no longer, is a tough space to put yourself in, because now, one, you got to think about how you're going to take care of yourself, but then two is like, God, like, what am I going to do? Like how can I sustain myself? And I think that, like, you know, sometimes God even allows disappointment like that to happen just to show you that you've been relying on the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you've made idols out of jobs,
people,
relationships,
yeah.
things, habits. You've made idols out of these things where you have been more dependent on that thing being successful mm-hmm. than God guiding you through something.
Yes.
So now all of a sudden, God has this jealousy, this righteous jealousy that rises up, and he says, hey, I don't want you putting this idol before me. This job, oh, you think this job is your provider? No, I'm your provider.
Right.
Oh, you think that, like, you know, like, that man is a provider for you? No, I'm your provider. Oof. I provide for him.
Oof.
And you've made your husband or your boyfriend the provider, and you've made a god out of him.
Yeah.
And God is like, no. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to be a roommate to your idols. Like, you know, like, it's either going to be me or that thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes for your protection, God will say, I'm just going to get rid of the thing for you.
Oof.
I love you so much. Let me just get rid of this thing for you. You may not understand. You might be upset. You might be disappointed. But guess what? It's going to work out for your good if you trust me.
Because I'm probably always going to throw a fit.
Yeah, of course we are.
I'm going to get to trust in him. But in the moment, I'm throwing a fit. Why, Lord?
Of course we are.
You know?
I'm about to say, we're children.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's, when you take something away from a child is disappointed. Because a child doesn't understand why, like, you know, like, you, they can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, a child is going to throw a temper tantrum and cry. But what we know in hindsight is that you playing with something that's dangerous can hurt you. So it may be fun in the moment. It may even be like a good time. Like, you know, it might be even cute for some people. But at the end of the day, we recognize this as something that is dangerous to your health.
Yeah.
And if it's dangerous to you, I'm not going to allow you to hurt yourself for the sake of fun.
Oof.
For the sake of a good time. So God is not going to allow you to just have a good time and be comfortable and allow you to kill yourself.
That's real.
He will remove that thing. And then what we got to start saying is, thank you, God. Thank you for closing the door. Yeah. Thank you for taking me out of that situation that I really wanted to be in. The difference between a mature believer and an immature believer is one that can say, and not even immediately, because again, we're human. I'm never going to let disappointment overtake me in a moment and I say, God, thank you for the disappointment. I'm not there yet, respectfully. But I think eventually, like, you know, we have to say, like, yo, God, in hindsight, thank you.
And it sounds like disappointment is an opportunity to grow as far as, like, your trust in God.
That's good.
I don't understand this right now, but this is my opportunity to say, you know what, Lord? I trust your plan for my life. I trust you're going to work this out for my good. And I'm going to be along for the ride. Mm-hmm. Like, you're faithful. You're the most trustworthy person I know. If anybody can make this turn around for my good, it's him. He knew all the days of our lives before we took a breath. What just happened was not a surprise to him.
God doesn't react.
Exactly.
He knew what was going to happen.
Right.
He is proactive, not reactive.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I said, like, you know, and I love how you worded it, like, you know, like, disappointment is an opportunity. Yes. Like, God says, now you get an opportunity. I'm giving you a chance to trust me,
to seek me more, because now you really are just seeking God for your next. This didn't work out how I wanted it to. I didn't get accepted to the school, you know, the program that I wanted to. I didn't get the job I wanted to. But now, okay, Lord, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It could be the fact that you're not supposed to work for anybody. Now you have time and space and opportunity to work for yourself.
Yeah.
To finish that book.
Mm.
To do all the things, you know.
Teach it to yourself, huh?
Something like that.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, but I think that's really beautiful. And I think that if there was anything that I would want to leave people with, it's that point right there. Disappointment is the opportunity to trust God.
Yeah.
To really cast all your cares on him. Yeah. Like, he's giving you that opportunity. And if you look at it as an opportunity, you'll never downplay it for what it is.
Yeah.
You'll never say, like, oh, like, you know, like, God let me down. It's like, no, like, this was a God, you set me up.
Yeah.
Like, God, you really looked out for me by disappointing me. And again, it, like, I think that, like, you know, the real deal is that it's tough to get there.
For sure.
And it takes time to get there.
For sure.
I think that if you really think that you're going to just be able to bounce back immediately, again, you're denying your carnality.
Yeah.
You are human. Feel. My Bible doesn't condemn you for feeling things. It says be angry, but
sin not. Yeah, that's good.
So I think we covered a lot. I'm about to say disappointing yourself, friends, God,
yeah,
jobs, all the things. Yeah. I'm about to say so. Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm about to say we thank y'all for rocking with us, man. We pray that y'all heard something that was restoring to your ear, man. And we can't wait to see y'all next time.
Bye.